Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal will be joining us here in just a second, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. We're getting there. We're getting there, closer and closer to the game Saturday, a couple days away. If you have any questions, comments, opinions, you want to get involved in some Bills talk, join us right now, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. What's up, Sal Capaccio? Happy Thursday. How you holding out?
I'm good. I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited to get back watching Sabres hockey, watching Taylor Hall. Excited for Max to be able to watch hockey. We watched last night. We watched a little bit. We watched the banner being raised in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty captivated watching that. So that was pretty cool for me to see. But it's going to be a really fun next, 72 plus hours, I guess.
Yeah. So I have
48 plus hours. Excuse me, 48. We're at Thursday now. Game's on Saturday. Sorry. Quick.
Don't make it longer. Yeah.
I have an inside baseball / behind the scenes question for you, because with fans at these games, and it's going to be 32, not crazy cold, but it'll be cold, and to be outside for that long, you can get cold. Any fan that goes can bundle up in big, huge jackets and gloves and everything, and you in the moat, dressed professionally / bundled up. What are your tricks of the trade? You have super Alaskan fleece-lined dress pants. How do you stay warm when you also have to kind of not be in a giant ball of Gore-Tex, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got to stay warm and I got to be able to move, because I go from, I go up the stairs and over, and, I'm not on the field, but I'm still running sideline to sideline essentially, right? So yeah. One of the things I do is I wear, I guess you can call them sliders, spandex, underneath my pants. Like runners, spandex, I wear those long ones. I put those on and then I put my pants on basically. But so I'm wearing two layers there. That's what I do on the bottom half. And then the top half, Jared, basically, I bring extra layers with me. I don't want to be too restrictive, because what you have to remember is I got to get my mic out. I got to talk, things like that. I got to get my phone out for updates. I get texts about injuries and things like that during the game. So I got to be on there. And then even my gloves, I got to take my glove off to use my phone to read texts and things like that to make sure I got everything going. So there's a lot going on there that I can't be too restrictive. What I do is I generally decide before the game, what kind of weather it is. I've done this a long time enough, 30 degrees. Okay. A hoodie with a jacket over it should be pretty good. And then I'll bring extra layers with me and keep it in the press box if I have to go and, change, something like that. And then I wear boots. My feet will get really cold by the end of the game if I don't. A couple extra layers of socks, but the boots. I'd rather wear sneakers, but I've just learned my feet just get way too cold by the end of the game and they're frozen.
You ever do the, this is for anybody, Howard, you ever do this, the hand warmers, but in the boots? Like, they've got toe.
Yeah, I've done that.
Throw those down there,
yeah.
It's hard though because the boots I wear, like they're snug and tight, and the hand warmers won't go down there. You know what I mean? They won't fit in there. But yes, I've done that. The boots I wear, my wife got me a really good pair of winter boots not too long ago, actually last year, and they've been great for this. So yeah, and then actually one thing I actually really do like to do, I think fans would be curious because I love the ambiance so much, guys. So I wear one earbud, and I keep the other one free so I can hear the crowd. Nice. I only listen to Murph and Tasker in one ear because I want to hear the crowd. I look at other sideline reporters, and I've talked to people about this. A lot of them wear big headphones. You know, they wear two, they put two on, and they're always, you know, listening, and they want to keep the crowd noise out. I do not. I love to hear the crowd because I want to talk about it. I want to hear what's going on. If I hear something happening, I want to be able to react to that, and then I can use that on the broadcast as well.
Well, this week's crowd might have a little bit of a challenge to try to be as loud and as rowdy as last week's crowd, which all by all accounts was pretty good. The primetime atmosphere, maybe the next step in the process. I mean, so every once in a while, I just kind of sit around and think, like, wow, if they win this game Saturday, they're in the AFC Championship. And it's just, like, even thinking about that, even with their expectations coming into this year, it's just kind of wild to say it and to know that it is really so close for this group that has had they've had lofty goals all year.
Agreed. When you get to this point, if you win, I think that there's just this, when you're on the outside looking in, you're like, man, AFC Championship, NFC Championship, Final Four, whatever, however you want to term it, it's this incredible accomplishment and feat. Kind of when you're there, you don't realize you're there in a little ways because you're just winning and you're just playing. And it's kind of a routine that every week, I think you have to step back and say, hey, there's only four of these teams. This is the AFC Championship, right? I kind of remember that a little bit in that way, you know, when I was younger. I mean, the first AFC Championship the Bills went to, I was 15 years old, you know, and I was old enough then to understand. But even then, I don't think I understood, like, the gravity of this is the AFC Championship game, right? And then, you know, a couple of years later, they go back, you know, they lose the next year. Then they go back again, and then they win. They go to the Super Bowl. But you're right, Jeremy. I think that, you know, if you get to the next round, like, man, what an incredible accomplishment that is. You know, it, win or lose, but of course, you're right there. You're knocking on the door, and you're literally, you're four quarters away from playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, the game on Saturday, however it goes, you remember playoff games pretty much forever. The way that people from the 90s talk about, oh, the game against the Chiefs, the Bronco game, this and that, you know, I don't remember all of those. I was too young for all those games, and this next generation of Bills fans, they're kind of building in memories that, I mean, no matter what happens in this game, and especially if they win it, of course, you know, you get another one in the AFC Championship next week. You just kind of build up this resume or whatever, this backlog of all-time games. And for the longest time, that was just missing for this group, for this team, yeah, for these fans. So it's just the gravity of it. It on Saturday, I don't know how I'll sleep Friday night, and Saturday morning waking up, it'll be like counting down the minutes to this game.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about that is you remember it, and it's just so vivid. For anybody who lived through it, you know, that really was into the Bills, obviously, you know, I think that almost anybody can recall the years and the games. You know what I mean? It's even if you're a casual fan, you could say, no, I mean, it gets a little fuzzy when you're 30 years after. I get it. But I've talked to plenty of people who said, hey, remember in 92 when, you know, that happened or whatever, in 93? You know, I could rattle off the playoff games, but, you know, I was into it and I was going to all the games and things like that. But even people, they remember, and you might get a little crazy on, oh, wait, did they play the Raiders in the second time they played the Raiders? Was that the championship or the divisional round or Kansas City or Denver? But you remember those games. And then the other thing is, there's always something about each game you remember. So what is last week's? What are we going to call last week's? Because we can call it, there was the greatest comeback. You know, we can maybe think we could call the Carlton Bailey game mm-hmm. and the Denver AFC Championship game, yeah. right? With yeah. a Ronnie Harmon drop in 89, the Derek Burrows game in 88, he got a penalty, which really hurt the Bills and allowed the Bengals to score. What are we calling last week's game?
That's a great question. Yeah.
Signature play, the Hail Mary? I don't
know. The Colts game. No, it's the only time so. They ever played the Colts, right? So, like, you call it the Colts game.
Yeah, how do you remember? What, is there a signature moment or something about the
know.
Game
That's
that you'd remember 20 years later? Although that, I mean, their first home playoff win in forever.
Maybe that's just it, right? Maybe
yeah,
it's
but,
just because
there were no
I'll
fans.
Be honest with you, Howard,
I mean, well, there were some fans.
In 88, they played the Oilers. They win the division. They play the Oilers at home. And there was nothing. I mean, the end of the game, there was a signature play, and that was Steve Tasker, of course, knocking a punt loose, and then it was recovered. And though the Bills won the game at the end of the game because of it. So maybe you remember that. Hmm. But I don't think about that game and say the Steve Tasker, you know, punt game at the end. You know what that game was for me? First playoff game ever at that stadium. Like, that's what that was.
Yeah. I've got two options for this Colts game. If you're talking, like, in 20 years and you ask somebody,
what do you remember about that game?
Right. There are two things that I – the fumble that wasn't
– Darrell Williams.
Oh, that's a great one.
You're talking about the Colts. Yeah, the non-overturn. Yeah, right.
That's a great one. The non-overturn. It's that, or it might be Gabe Davis toe drags. Those plays were incredible.
Yeah. Because they were on the same drive, and what? One play separated the two throws or whatever. Yeah. They're pretty close together.
I think you could also maybe say the goal line stand game, the drive. You know, that was the turning point, the goal line stand and the drive, right? I mean, that maybe something like that stands out in the next 20 years. Like, wow, remember that goal line stand? Then Josh went down 96 yards, they score a touchdown, and that changed the game?
Well, thankfully they won, because if they didn't in 20 years, we know what the answer would have been. It would have been the Zach Pascal play. Yeah.
Oh, for 100%.
Sure. 100%. Yeah, it would have been, oh, my Lord. Yeah, I don't even want to think about that. Sal, I know tomorrow we do more of a formal injury report. Actually, the injury statuses will come out today. But concerned at all about the whole bunch of guys on the limited list for the Bills? Is anybody at risk at this point of not playing?
When I see limited a couple days in a row, I'm not generally as concerned, but, you know, we are at a Thursday now, and the game is on Saturday. And I would say, like, it would be individually for me here, which is Beasley and Diggs played last week. I'm not too concerned. It's the same injury, right? They both played.
Yep.
Tremaine Edmonds, 2 days in a row with a hamstring. Yeah, that piques my interest. Like, okay, what's going on there? Because I think he finished the game, though, which is good. Like, I didn't see anything in the game. We never got an injury report in him. Now, Ed Oliver, I will tell you, I saw Ed Oliver what happened. When he got hurt, he came to the sidelines and he was bouncing. Like, he definitely was dealing with something, but it was never to the point of we got an official injury report. You know what I mean? Like, that's when it becomes like there's something going on there. But I could tell that something was bothering him when he came off the field at one point. I kept an eye on him, but it never really – it was late in the game, by the way, if I remember, which also could be why. Mm-hmm. And then Justin Zimmer as well. I guess what I'm telling you is none of these guys had any sort of significant injury that we knew of on Sunday, and they're all been limited. So I don't think there's too much to be concerned of, but of course you have to take it in consideration. Now, Daryl Johnson, on the other hand, 2 days in a row, not practicing with a knee injury, of course I think that's trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Baltimore is interesting now, right? Because they came out of the game against Tennessee. John Harbaugh was saying we're injury-free, but now they got Judon has not practiced and Marcus Peters has not practiced. So two significant names not working out for them so far this week.
Yeah, this reads to me like a couple of guys they're being very precautionary with, but who knows? You know, when you're dealing with a back, or, you know, you don't know, you know, how severe his illness is, but to miss two practices with those things is, you know, it's concerning. I'm sure if you're a Ravens fan, you're a bit concerned, but after he said that, and then you see, like, okay, this is a veteran team, a veteran coach, you know, these guys are probably getting the maximum precaution here to make sure they're available. So it is for sure something to monitor today with both teams. As you mentioned, the final game status will come out for all these players later today.
A lot of talk this week and again tomorrow and going into the game about Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore running game, Dobbins, Edwards, you know, 190 rushing yards a game. How do you think the Bills' run defense has performed this season overall?
Inconsistent. Not great. I think they've been below average. But I think that there's been some times where they've been a lot better, and that's where the inconsistency, I mean, which is you've seen at times where they can be really good against the run. I don't think just they haven't been consistently good enough, and when they're not good, it seems like it comes in bunches. You know, it comes with a lot of yards, and you're like, man, they just can't stop anybody. But there have been times where they've been good. You know, I always think back to the stretch when they played against the Raiders and the Titans, and they stopped Derrick Henry for less than 60 yards.
Right.
And then
Josh Jacobs.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
And Jacobs, same thing. I don't think he didn't have a really good day.
No.
You know, but they.
Yep.
So I think that when I think about them, I've always said early in the year, a lot of times I would say to you guys, and I talk about how if this team wants to focus on stopping one thing, it seems like they can do it. And in those games, it was let's stop the run. But then, you know, they open themselves up to something else like Tennessee. Tannehill beat them getting outside. They gave up passes. I know Bills had some DBs down and things like that. Against the Chiefs, they said, we're going to take away the passing game. We're going to take away Tyreek Hill. He did nothing. He had 20 yards, but they ran against him. I think that the one thing that has been better about this defense, not the one thing, they've been a lot better overall as a defense, but at least it seems like they can defend both the run and the pass a little better together than they did earlier in the year, whereas earlier in the year it was one or the other. But I will tell you, I think the run defense still, to me, is always going to be a concern. Now, if I'm going to choose, though, to be inconsistent and below average against the run or the pass, I'm going to choose the run, of course. you can still, even if a team runs on you a lot, you can still, that's not a recipe to necessarily win the game. The Chiefs ran for 240 yards in the Bills. It was a one-score game late. You know, because running keeps the game close, essentially. I know they run for big plays. I know they can score the Baltimore Ravens. But I'd rather sacrifice giving yards on the ground and then buckling up in the red zone than I would a team throwing all over me, for sure.
It's interesting, too, you know, the whole defending Lamar. I know you've talked about your conversations with Lorenzo, and maybe that ties into your tweet yesterday, which was cool about how you're taught in high school and college, one approach, and Lamar Jackson's a little bit different than the approach you're usually taught, right, in terms of running or how to defend guys like that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's like necessarily Lamar necessarily, but I do think that there's something to be said here. It might be more as you get up at the higher levels, because I will tell you, in college sometimes you're also taught to play it a little more fast, but in high school at the lower levels, when you see option football, you're taught to slow play it, which is basically, hey, string the play out, just be where you are, don't move too much, just stand in your gap, shuffle your feet, move with the guy, make him wait until he has to make a decision, because by the time he does, you're going to get some reinforcements there, or you're going to get to the sideline or whatever. Then you get up to the college level, and it's the same thing in a lot of ways, but I do think that if you have better athletes, you know, it could be a big discrepancy there, right, in college. If you have better athletes, you could say, look, just go attack the guy, like you're going to get there, you're going to be better than him anyway. But with Lamar, I think one thing I noticed with the Bills last year was they didn't wait around. They attacked. And I think that's what you have to do. And I asked Micah Hyde about that yesterday too. And he said, play fast. And that's what I suspect. I think that the Bills, any team really, but the game plan is you don't do that. You don't stand there and shuffle your feet and wait, because that gives Lamar Jackson a chance to make a move on you and he's gone. You attack him. Now look, attacking him can look foolish. Matt Milano had a play last year where Lamar, you know, faked him out really well. People remember it. And Matt Milano's a really good football player. That happens to people. But the difference is, if you do that, that might happen once in a while. But at least you're forcing him to do something. If you attack him, he has to make a decision. Am I going right? Am I going left? Am I going to hand off? Am I going to pitch? And if you especially attack when he's running some sort of option in the backfield, you might even be able to get close enough to the mesh point sometimes to really screw things up. You know what I mean? And I think that's the thing I really noticed last year when they played against Lamar, which was guys were just attacking him. As soon as they read what he was doing, they went. They did not allow for him to make a move.
You mentioned Milano. I think I wanted to ask you about him. So since you mentioned, I'll go to that question. And we know how important he is. I mean, every down linebacker, coverage guy, helping out against Lamar, all this other stuff. Maybe he's matched up against Mark Andrews. Do you think Milano is now at 100%? I mean, do you think he is at the top of his game again?
I don't know if I'd say that. I think that there was some coverage issues last week, right, where he was trailing a little bit. Now, I give the Colts a lot of credit for their scheme last week, and they have good players, and Phillip Rivers was on point. He threw a couple balls that there was very good coverage, whoever it was, you know, and Phillip Rivers made a really nice play. I think that he's running again, and it looks like he's out there moving around like 100%. But, you know, he did miss quite some time, and maybe there's some things in there he has to clean up as far as, you know, getting back to his eyes and game speed and things like that. So, yeah, I think overall he's probably playing like that. But I was a little concerned last week about some of the coverage issues and breakdowns, which wasn't just on him. Again, I give the Colts a lot of credit for what they did. But I think he's a really important player this week because they're going to use their tight ends. And a lot of times that is Matt Milano who has to be in that coverage situation.
All right, Mr. C, I'm hanging in there. I just need, you know, if you could move up the game time, that'd be nice if you could make it tomorrow. Just call your people that you know in the league office when you get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, even Saturday, like what do you do, right?
8:15, yeah. Noon kick would be cool if you don't mind. And by the way, tell them to practice outside because I need some dancing videos this week. You know, I need to see that they're still nice and loose. MC Hammer, I don't care who it is, but I need some videos from practice.
Well, that was the Thursday practice last week. That could be again today.
Let's do it. It makes me loosen up for the game. So just tell them.
Does
to do
it?
That.
You gonna do some?
I get my hammer pants out. Yeah, they're home. I don't like to bring them into work. I hate to brag about my dancing ability.
Your parachute pants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got parachute shirts. Might as well have parachute pants. We will talk to you tomorrow morning for Football Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sal. Sal with us here on the Western Hotline. His segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Speaking of Football Friday, I don't know if this is good news or not. Depends how you feel about this. You'll be able to watch us for a couple of hours again tomorrow. The stream is back. We will be live on the WGR Facebook page for Football Friday tomorrow from 8, I believe, until 10. It's at least 8 to 9. But I think for some reason people were so excited last week that I believe we're pushing it 2 hours. Either way, Starting at 8 tomorrow, live WGR Facebook page. Watch Jeremy. Watch me. It is presented by Southern Tier Brewing Company, brewed and loved in the 716. So we have that for you.
Quick thing on I have a text for you, and I'm going to answer this question because I think we know the answer to this. A texter was talking about Lamar hiding the ball, like on the RPOs.
Options, yeah.
What color jersey will the Ravens wear? White tops, we know.
Yeah,
the Bills are wearing blue tops.
Yeah, okay.
So my guess is the Ravens are white tops and black pants.
Yeah, that's what they wore last time here. But the Bills were all red for that last matchup. But still, they had white top and I don't know if it was black or purple pants, but it was dark pants, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be a white top for sure because the Bills are wearing blue tops.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of hard, hopefully, to
hide
said football. When we get 803-0550 to join us, Bills, Ravens, Sabres, we're talking about everything this morning with you here. And Paul will join us next as we get ready for the opener tonight against the Capitals right here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You know, that's another great thing for Paul being back. I got to bring back the ABBA music because Paul loves ABBA. Okay, we'll get to him in a second. Here are your headlines. Injuries. Let's start there. The Bills injury report. It's the same for a second straight day. Same guys were listed as limited in practice. Diggs, Beasley, Edmonds, Oliver, Zimmer. Same guy listed as not practicing, Darryl Johnson. For Baltimore, same deal too. Both Matthew Judon and Marcus Peters still not practicing. Judon with an illness, Peters with a back. The Bills news brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. The Sabres, of course, play Washington tonight. We'll have the game here on WGR beginning at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. We'll talk more about that with Paul in just a moment. And a big trade in the NBA yesterday involving four teams. The most notable name on this trade, of course, is James Harden, who got his wish. He was traded from Houston, ends up in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and, whenever he shows up, Kyrie Irving. Bonner beat Fordham, too, in A-10 hoops. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. Standing by on the West Her Hotline is our very own
Paul Hamilton, the pride of both Amherst High School and Iowa State University. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. Happy game day.
I'm impressed. You remembered I went to Amherst High School.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, you've mentioned it. I don't know if you've, maybe did you ever tweet out? I've seen the picture of you in your Iowa State hockey jersey. I'm trying to recall if you ever tweeted.
Yeah, that was in the paper.
I'm trying to recall if you ever tweeted a picture of you with an Amherst shirt or jersey or anything.
It was sitting on my helmet in my football stuff.
Okay, there you go.
And I don't remember why, but it wound up, I tweeted it for some reason, and that was the picture I think you're thinking of.
Was that when you were at your best for Amherst, when you were sitting on the helmet?
Yes, I sat on the sideline all the time.
Did you go?
You think they wanted to put me in a game?
Like I should talk. I'm up in the stands because I'm like, that's too violent. I'm not playing football. What are you kidding me? Man, you guys are tackling each other. You know what? I'll forget tomorrow. We have Sabres to get to, of course. I'll forget tomorrow, even though it's Football Friday. So let me ask you today. What are your Bills thoughts for Saturday night? What do you think about the matchup against Baltimore?
Well, NBC has to be delighted. I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be tough. I mean, the Bills' defense has shut down Lamar before, so it's not like they haven't done it. It's not like they don't know how to do it. So, that's obviously the key. But, you know, Baltimore has its problems with Buffalo's quarterback too, and that's the way I look at it. That's why I think it's going to be a great game, because I think we're going to see a lot of offense from both teams. And you know, we obsess with, well, how are we going to stop Lamar? But really, the question is, how are they going to stop Josh Allen?
Right.
That's a big question, too. And that hasn't been a big question since, Jim Kelly was around? So
been a couple of years or so, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. So, you know, that's the thing. It's like, well, yeah, all right, you're a little nervous at Lamar. And Lamar will pull off a couple of plays. You know, you limit him and you try to keep him under – you know, between probably 17 and 25 points, and you'll probably be fine.
The Bills have been, they've been fun to watch, you know, with such an explosive offense. And, of course, they're winning football games, which is the great combination to have. When it comes to the hockey team, two-part question. I might have asked you yesterday whether or not they'll make the playoffs. So if I did, then forget part two. Will the Sabres at least be fun to watch this season?
I would think so with the changes they've made. I mean, you bring in Hall and Stahl, and Thompson had probably the best camp of all the forwards. So you have to drop a talented forward out of the top six, and that's been a lot of hand-wringing going on about that. And my answer to that is, by the middle of the first, you know, people are just obsessed with the lines, and by the middle of the first period, they'll probably be changed. You know, that's the way hockey is.
I'm just memorizing them now, Paul. What are you doing to me?
When things don't go well, they change the lines.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the kind of thing that amuses me, that there's just so much hand-wringing that goes into lines, and Ralph Kruger should be fired, because you're never going to get people to like the lines. I don't think there's been a line combination I've ever tweeted out that everybody says, oh, this is great. You know, and this, we can go back as far as Lindy Ruff. I mean, he didn't know how to construct lines either. No coach knows how to construct lines, only fans. And that's the thing. If you don't like the lines, unless they're winning, I mean, if they're winning big, the lines will stay the same for a little while, and who cares, because you're winning. If it doesn't work, it'll change.
Here's a line I like. Eichel, Eichel, Eichel. Like that line might go over well.
You know, you just hit one, Jeremy, that I think everybody would like. I don't think I'd get any hassle about that at all.
It's been a different preseason. You know, we've had different years before where coming back, the expectations for Jack have been that he's in the best shape, or his shot's been incredible. I can remember Dan Bylsma's season or Housley season. It's always about how Jack looks coming back, and I feel like maybe it's because it's different, maybe it's because of the level he got to, that this has been the quietest season for that. I don't really hear about him at all leading into this year.
Well, I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. He hasn't played a hockey game in 10 months.
That's a long layoff.
Yeah, 10 months. You know how he is and how competitive he is and how much he loves the game, and he's tired of training, and you know he trains hard. He wants to play hockey, and this, you know, I expect him to be even better than what he was last year. I think he can go to another level, and I think we'll see it, because he's just chomping at the bit, and he wants to make the playoffs, and he wants to get this going, and he wants to prove that, you know, he and his Sabre teammates are up to this task of playing in this division.
Well, with that, he's got a new line mate in Taylor Hall. You know, it's one of these great players sometimes don't mesh for whatever reason. When Skinner came here, he and Skinner figured it out right away. Eichel worked it out right away pretty much with Olofsson. You know, maybe, Paul, he's a player that no matter who he plays with, it's going to work out. Expectations for that line for Hall and Eichel will be sky high. Like, we're going to want them to score tonight. And if they don't score or get good scoring chances tonight, it's going to be immediately tomorrow. All right, well, hopefully you figured it out. So would you just estimate great players of that caliber and the way that they play the game, they'll just have it figured out pretty much right away?
They usually do figure it out, but you are right. Sometimes great players don't mesh. I mean, there are a lot of people who have tweeted back at me, they want Hall, Eichel, and Skinner to play together. That's a horrible idea. You have three people that want the puck and three people that want to skate with the puck. I don't think that would work at all because, you know, you have to have different elements on a line, plus Hall and Skinner, neither one of them play right wing. So you would put one of them in a strange position. So, you know, that's something that I don't think would work. You know, and so you're right. Sometimes when you load up a line with all talent and the talent doesn't have any other elements to the line, it doesn't work because teams can defense that. And especially if you get three players, and I'm not saying these three would be slow, but some of them, in Skinner's case, are sloppy in their own end and maybe would wind up getting penned in their own end.
So with that said, what is Tage Thompson's what's his mission on this line? To be in front, to play, what's his game? Because, you know, when the Sabres traded for him, obviously there are high hopes for him. We haven't seen it yet. If his game's rounding out and he's trying to find a spot with two superstars on a line, what will the mission be for him night in, night out?
He's got to play his game. He can't be afraid to shoot the puck because, well, I have Jack Eichel and Taylor Hall. I better give it to them. I mean, he's got a phenomenal shot. If, you know, he gets set up in the slot, he's got to rip it. You know, he's got to take his shot. He's got to, you know, contribute to the line that way and just be a part of the line. And being part of a line is letting your talents shine through too, not yielding to Taylor Hall and Eichel all the time and saying, well, I can't shoot here or I'm going to give up a glorious opportunity because I'm with two superstars and I got to give the puck up. No, you don't have to. If one of these great superstars sets you up in front of the net, shoot it. Let it go. You know, do what you do best, too. And so far in preseason, for the most part, he's done that. There have been a couple times I thought myself, come on, Tage. You know, you got to shoot there or you got to let it go there. Or, don't be looking for the pass all the time because of who you're playing with. But it's not – I don't see that a lot.
One other thing that as a result of this – of Thompson getting that top spot is we get to see Olofsson away from Eichel because for most of last year, I mean, he was pretty much attached to his hip.
Remember the end of the year, he did play right wing with
Johansson?
Johansson, and I believe Skinner was on the left side, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah. And he did score a couple of goals there, and that line did look pretty good. And you got to remember, Olofsson only scored 9 even-strength goals last year, and they all weren't with Eichel. So that's something he needs to improve on. But that's when I knew, you know, when we're sitting here, when we're all doing our lines in the off season and everything, that Olofsson can play right wing. We've watched it. We've seen him do it, and I thought he did it pretty well. And he's talked about it, too, even before he became a Buffalo Sabre. He's played right wing, and he's comfortable with it.
Paul, earlier, Jeremy was mentioning Ralph Krueger. So, now we're going into season number 2. What is there anything in particular when you think back about his first year coaching the Sabres? Is there anything in particular you'd be curious to see or want to see from a Ralph Krueger perspective in season 2?
Yeah, the way he constructed special teams, especially penalty kill, has to change. It didn't work. They were 30th in the penalty kill, and he needs to sit down with his coaching staff, and they needed to devise, you know, a better system of killing penalties, whether it's up top with the forwards. The forwards seemed a little bit lost last year when they were up top on the kill. They didn't know who, they would hesitate. Should I be here? Should I be there? And then shots would get through because they're not in the lane and that type of thing. So I think they need to figure that out. And the power play. I mean, you know, people are going to take Olofsson and Eichel away in the circles. So Dahlin, quarterbacking the power play as the point man, you know, he's got Reinhart in front of the net. He's got Hall in the high slot. He's going to have to try to incorporate those two players even more because teams don't want Eichel taking that one-timer for the circle, and they don't want Olsson taking it from the other circle. So that's what they're going to have to concentrate on, and the Sabres have to stop forcing that sometimes. Sometimes last year when it wasn't successful, their power play started off well, but then teams would take that away. They'd force it. Teams would knock the puck away, and they'd ice the puck down the other end. So that's the biggest thing from a coaching standpoint. I think he needs to examine how he plays special teams, and that has to change.
I think with the – I mean, we expect the number one power play to be productive, better than it was last year because of who they have. Do you think there's a chance because of a trickle-down now with Staal out there, and it sounds like Cousins has been getting some power play to ice time, do you think maybe they'd have a little better second power play unit, more productive second power play?
Yeah, because you have Staal and Skinner, Cousins, Thompson, Ristolainen. You know, Ristolainen is capable of quarterbacking a power play from the point position. I've seen him make some good plays with it. He's got a good shot from back there. If it gets through and they've got some folks in front, you know, he can help that. So I think he's capable of doing it. I think he also makes some mistakes back there too, quarterbacking it. But Staal, I think, can maybe calm that unit down, and maybe they can get some production out of that second unit to get it out. They were 20th in the power play last year, and it can't all just be the Eichel power play. I mean, the Staal power play has to, you know, put in some contributions too.
Paul, before I let you go, you've already experienced, you know, no locker room access and Zoom calls, and how practices are now done from the media standpoint. You're going to be in the building tonight, I would assume. What are you thinking about, you know, no fans, pumped in crowd noise, and what do you think it's going to feel like tonight?
That's going to be weird. I mean, I've experienced a scrimmage, and it's going to be very similar, except this isn't a scrimmage. First of all, it's going to be faster. It's going to be more intensity. I think after a while, sitting there watching it, you'll forget about there are no fans there, because yep. I think it quickly will become the new normal, because that's what you're going to be experiencing.
Right.
So I think after a while, you're just going to be watching a hockey game and you won't pay that much attention to, you know, if fans are around. Where I might notice it, like if there's a fight, you know how the building mm-hmm. gets electric when there's a fight or something like that. And when there's a fight, you're not going to have that rise in the crowd and that type of thing that goes on.
Well, have fun.
You're one of the only people there, Paul. They should let you pick the goal song.
Ooh,
whatever you want.
What are we doing for goals? Yeah. What's the goal song? It's not the same, is it?
Honestly,
good question.
I'll be honest with you. If you played it, I probably would recognize it, but I don't even know what the goal song is, because when they score a goal, I'm busy trying to figure out how the goal happened and getting it out on Twitter, and you know, that kind of stuff around me, like the game presentation and stuff. I don't notice that stuff all that often.
If you didn't have a flip phone, you wouldn't have to spend as much time trying to figure out how to get the thing out on Twitter.
But he doesn't have a flip phone anymore.
Have you gone new age?
Yeah, I did that maybe in February.
Oh, I did not realize that. All right. Well, so it's nice to know you're – who am I to pick on technology, guys? All right, Paul, we will talk to you tomorrow morning. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Paul with us on the Wester Hotline. 6 o'clock pregame tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff from KeyBank Center as the Sabres take on Alexander Ovechkin in the Washington Capitals in the first of the two-game miniseries tonight and tomorrow night as the Sabres open up the hockey season. 803-0550. You can give us your thoughts on the opening of the hockey season. We're, of course, breaking down the Bills-Ravens matchup all week. That'll continue. Top of the hour, Takiyo Spikes is going to join us, former Buffalo Bill. We'll get his thoughts on this. And Pick of the Week from Jeremy is on the way in a moment on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back,
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales, a 2010 Jeep Wrangler Sport from our good friends at Riverfront. Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. are Western New York's experts in finding quality pre-owned vehicles from all over the country. This Jeep Wrangler has a ton of extras, a unique two-door sport, four-wheel drive, automatic, 3.8-liter, 12-valve V6 engine, red in like-new condition. Check out RiverfrontAutoSales.com for over 20 pictures of this polished Jeep. And you can get this impressive Jeep for under $17,000, $16,995, an ideal time to buy a four-wheel drive Jeep. Call Riverfront, 886-1626, and ask about the red Jeep Wrangler Sport today. Pick of the week is going to be the Hall Eichel debut tonight. Not the game, just Hall Eichel. And that question we kicked around with Paul there about the idea of great players finding chemistry. I'm reminded of Allen and Diggs, right? I mean, yeah. Allen was not a great player until this year. And Diggs might not have been a great player until this year. You might have – he never made a Pro Bowl. Now he's all-pro receiver, you know. Mm-hmm. And Allen's a second-team all-pro. Like, they're great players. They found a chemistry to each take them to that next level. Eichel and Hall have both had that individually with a number of different teammates. And I wanted to ask you, and Brayton, if you can think, is there an example – or a leader in the clubhouse that people think of where two great players got together and it didn't work, right? When we saw, well, sometimes it doesn't work when two great players, they just don't mesh. Is there a great example that everyone agrees, oh, yeah, well, it could go the way that someone, you know, blank.
I'm trying to
blank
think of one of the NBA super teams that was put together that maybe didn't win as much as they were supposed to.
But even if they didn't win as much, were they the second best team? You know what I mean?
Like, right. Or did it just, think, right, it's oil, it didn't mix and they moved one guy away eventually or something.
Yeah, like
that.
Those two could not play together for whatever reason. The NBA might have a bunch of these, maybe. But I couldn't think of one off the top of my head that's just like the prime example that sports fans just use all the time as, well, you know, what if it goes like it went with –
yeah, I don't
whoever
think you can
whoever
use. Yeah, it's got to be. I don't think there's a baseball analogy. I just don't think that would work necessarily, right? Not
right.
Two guys. I mean, it's guys on a line or two of the five starters on an NBA court or, like you said, Mayfield's not a great player. I was actually thinking Baker Mayfield and OBJ, for whatever reason, did not work out.
That's a good example.
But Mayfield's not a great player.
But even so, he's talented.
Yeah.
And he's been much better since a great player left.
Yeah, that's the reason why that popped into my head. It just didn't produce the numbers I thought. When they made that trade, I thought, wow, what a great deal for them. And it just didn't produce to that point.
Texter says Kobe and Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. Like, those teams didn't win. Like, they were supposed to. Dwight Howard might fit with everybody in this, right?
He's been on enough teams.
He's been on a lot of teams.
Oh, boy.
I mean, sometimes guys don't mesh personally, but they do mesh on the field.
Yeah, you could still play well together.
Like Kobe and Shaq, right? They didn't mesh personally when they were on the same team together. They won an awful lot.
Yeah, they won championships even though they weren't best buddies at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was trying to think of a couple guys on like a couple of studs on the same line on a hockey team, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason.
You know, there's a very a small answer. The Penguins power play for a long time was it. The Penguins power play, they were like an amazing super team and they couldn't score on the power play or by league standards
Brendan,
a little while there.
I'm sorry, Brendan tweeted in, Harden Westbrook really never went the way it was supposed to for those guys. And
that's a good one, Harden Westbrook.
Just broke that up. I mean, Harden's gone. Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens. Tony tweeted one in.
They made the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And
they didn't
and
get
Terrell,
along.
And you know, Terrell stalked him a little bit. But yeah, they again, you don't. It's not based on whether you're best of friends. It's based on how productive are these guys. And, you know, I don't even know if you'd base it on just championships only. Did they win? And Philadelphia won when he was there. Harden Westbrook might be the leader in the clubhouse so far. Zach tweeted in the New York Rangers team.
Everything the Knicks have ever done.
Well, they've never seen, but they've never really had like great. When they get a great player, they trade him. So I don't think the Knicks are in the discussion. You know, yeah, I don't know. That's a good. I've got no other nominees coming in. That's why I said the one that, you know, Mayfield. Again, he's not at that level yet. But I just thought it didn't materialize. I thought good young quarterback, great receiver. This is going to be good for both guys, and it never really materialized that way.
Favre and Randy Moss. Did they play together? Where? Minnesota?
Minnesota? Was Moss still there at the time that he was there?
I don't think so. Wasn't he long
I'm trying
gone?
To think when, right, when would their paths have crossed? I mean, no.
Randy Moss was gone
from
Minnesota.
He would have been gone by then, right? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He went back to Minnesota. Yeah.
When Favre was there?
In 2010, he went back to Minnesota for a year.
Huh.
And played in four games, had two touchdowns.
That's too small a sample size then, if it's only four games.
Yeah, he's 33 at that time, so he's not exactly at the peak of his powers, right?
Right.
The 2010 Vikings, I mean, is that the Brett Favre Vikings? It is. Favre.
Is that the team lost to the Saints?
Yeah. No, it's not. In 2010, Brett Favre as a starter was 5-8. He had 11 touchdowns and 19 picks.
Yeah,
so, I mean, right. I feel like that's going to be an age thing more than it's going to be great players didn't mesh. At that point, they might have both been kind of shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think it over.
A lot of these are age. T.O. and Ocho Cinco. I mean, T.O.'s last season was in Cincinnati, and he had a decent year. And for him and Chad Johnson not to have meshed might have been more about, you know, age than it is about play style.
Yeah, you'd want to bring up T.O. in San Francisco, I think, more in the prime of his career, whether it was
Stokes.
Yeah, the receiver or even the quarterback, although it would have been, what, Garcia for a good chunk of his time there was – Or would Young have been? Yeah, you'd want, and it worked. They were winning. They were good teams. So.
Anyway, four goals tonight or trade Hall. That's what I'm saying. That's how it goes. Think they'll score tonight? Does that line score tonight?
Yeah. I have no idea. But
I'll say yes.
Sure.
Larry tweets in Hall, Eichel and O'Reilly again. Not personally.
But they didn't.
They didn't play together.
Yeah, that's it. They were on two different lines.
Yeah, we're not talking personal chemistry. I just mean like actual on ice. You know, you could hate the guy, and if you throw a bunch of touchdowns to him,
right,
you get by it.
803-0550 to join us. A little Sabres, a little Bills, Ravens, whatever's on your mind this morning. Reminder that, yes, it is confirmed. We will be streaming for 2 hours tomorrow, live on the WGR Facebook page. So 8 to 10 tomorrow. Check out the stream. Watch the show. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. It is presented by Southern Tier Brewing Company, brewed and loved in the 716. When we get back, former Bill Tequila Spike's going to join us. He's going to break down the Bills-Ravens matchup for us as we continue on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.